in this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. Dear siblings in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My, how good it is to have the choir and Bob and Amber and all of the music back in place. It lifts my spirit. Today, we hear a couple parables having to deal with lost and found. When's the last time you lost something? It's usually my keys. One morning I came to church about an hour later than I usually do. We had backed my car out of the garage to get something else into it. And I won't name names, but it's another adult in my house who backed it out. So we closed up the garage, we left my car in the driveway. Next morning, I'm looking high and low for my keys. In here and out there and up there and down there, and I can't find them anywhere. And the time is ticking and I need to do something. And so I call the love of my life and he said, "Have you checked the front seat of the car?" Wouldn't you know, my keys are in my unlocked car in the driveway. What are your experiences of searching high and low? We all have them. And this parable is about that kind of frantic search. But this parable is also over the top. You see, Jesus talks about a shepherd who leaves 99 behind to find the one, to find the one lost sheep. And it's so over the top because when Jesus finds the one sheep, he doesn't immediately bring it back to the rest of the sheep. He goes and throws a party, leaving the other 99 in the wilderness. One of my colleagues who has large youth group events says this is like taking your whole 100 youth group to the Mall of America, losing one of the kids, chasing off to find it, leaving all the rest of the kids in the food court, and going out and celebrating with the one when you find it. You see how illogical that is? Another colleague talks about it like this. You're putting together the most difficult jigsaw puzzle in the world. And you have slaved over this for so long. And you even give the cat to the neighbors so, you know, they don't bat any pieces around. And you get just about to the end, and you can't find one piece. Have you had that experience? That's why I don't buy used puzzles. Darla's more hopeful on that one. But what if you've done the whole puzzle, there's one piece missing, and you've searched high and low for hours and days and weeks and months, and you leave that puzzle out there, and all of a sudden one day you find that lost piece? You found it. And you throw a party and you celebrate the one lost piece missing, but you don't even put it in the puzzle. You just put that one lost piece in a frame. You just put it on the wall. I found the lost piece. It's not logical. Neither is the love of God. You see, Jesus is always searching out the one. Open up the gospel anywhere and you'll see it. He heals a leper. I'm just going through like the first three chapters of Mark. Okay, he finds a leper and he heals him. Nobody goes out looking for lepers. And of course, this whole business about eating with tax collectors and sinners, he doesn't just eat with them, he goes out and looks for them, us. Goes out and looks for them. Mark 3:1, man with a withered hand. Jesus found him and healed it. When he encounters unclean spirits, they shout at him to go away. Ha! Jesus found him. Think about all the gospel stories where Jesus goes to the one and changes that person's life. The woman at the well, nobody goes to her. Nobody wants to be around her. That's why she's gathering water at high noon. Jesus goes to her and proclaims himself to be living water. Changes her life and she becomes an evangelist. People believe because Jesus has changed her life. The person by the pool of Siloam, the man who'd been there so many years, because apparently you had to be first to get into the water to be healed by this mystical pool. And Jesus asks him if he wants to be healed. He says, yes, but I don't have anyone to take me to the pool. Jesus heals him. He doesn't need to be taken to the pool. He has Jesus. Do you see? You could go through all the Gospels over and over again. And Jesus goes out and finds the one. And the Gospel today says, just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And that's us. No matter how hard we try to do the right thing, to be the good person, we sin. We always do it again. But the Good Shepherd keeps chasing us down. Will not let us go. What has been your most profound loss? Jesus is in that too. You know, when I think, if you think about your most terrible loss, it's usually a grief. It's usually a loved one that you've been separated from through death. You know, what do people say when a loved one dies? They say, "I'm sorry for your loss." You see, Jesus knows that too. And for Jesus, none are lost. Because Jesus is the good shepherd that comes running to find his sheep. For God so loved the whole world that he sent his only son. This was the piece that the Pharisees were complaining about. The Pharisees and scribes were grumbling. You know, just like the Israelites in the wilderness who made their own little golden calf. The Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling. Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. That's the Pharisees and sinners. The rest of us who have been found by the shepherd, who have been found in our lacking and in our wanting and our needing, in our sinning. The shepherd has found us. And when we hear those words, the fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them, we say, thank God. Thank God. Because there's grace enough for me. There's grace enough for you. There's grace enough for all creation. If we will trust that God is indeed gracious. Sometimes I go to funerals in other churches, other denominations. And I will hear a loved one say, "Well, it's too bad. She was lost." Can we make that proclamation on behalf of God? We cannot. There is no one so lost as to be outside the reach of the eternal God. So if somebody's distracting you, somebody's giving you hassles, somebody's not living the way you think they ought to be living, that's not on you. That's to give them to God. Give them to God. For none are outside the reach of our loving God. And then give thanks. Every week we give thanks at this table that our Lord Jesus eats with tax collectors and sinners and us. May God's peace fill you, surround you, bring you hope and comfort. In Jesus' name, amen.